Welcome to another edition of the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Hope everyone's well. My name's Sean. I'm joined by Michael, my Scottish co-host.
You alright, mate? How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Thought I'd try something new.
I don't think it worked, mate.
I don't know. I sound a bit more professional. Yeah, probably didn't actually. Shit. Yeah, good about you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Can't complain too much. Had a week's... Have I spoke to you since last week? When did I go skiing?
You were away.
I was away. Obviously, last week, got to do a bit of skiing, a few other little bits, which was good. But now I'll come back to work and we're on a lockdown as well. So, no getting out of this where we are for a week or two until a bit of the COVID clears up where we are.
Yeah, man, I've had a wild one, mate. I went up to the corner shop and back.
Happy with that.
Yeah. Actually, it'd be nice to get out for a bit now, but obviously because myself feeling better than wife, had a bit of COVID. But yeah, been able to take the dog out. We had a bit of snow, which is nice. Very rare that we get snow where I am.
Okay, I've had snow for the last 6 weeks, mate.
Yeah. So that was all right. It was funny watching our little dog. Never seen snow before, didn't know what to do, which was quite funny to be fair. But
funny when dogs, because they put their nose in the snow, and when they lift their nose up, they look like cokeheads.
Never saw that before in my life, mate. And where I live, mate, there's plenty.
Plenty of cokeheads there, mate, yeah.
Plenty of cokeheads, plenty of beakers. Right, let's move on from there. We'll move on to the news as usual. A few bits and pieces of news. I know this has been some signings, some re-signings. The worst kept secret in rugby was finally confirmed today with Will Rowlands signing for the Dragons. I actually wrote down shock in sarcasm as well. Yeah, we all knew it was going to happen. Basically, Andy Goose said it on the rugby pod, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it had been reported for ages. So, yeah, they've just said a long-term contract. They're going down the Scottish Rugby Union. Danny Wilson gave the reason for it, didn't he? Saying, "Oh, we don't like to give out the length of contract, you know, for the players and obviously for the clubs because people want them players. The players have got agents that are going to tell the clubs that it's a 2-year contract." It sounded really stupid to me, but it's their own. It's their own. And then Kieran Williams has signed an extension. I think it's a 2-year extension for the Ospreys, which is good. He had an absolute blinder at the weekend. Very good young up-and-coming centre, something that Wales need. I'm pretty sure he'll play for Wales some point this year. So it's good to see the Ospreys signing, retaining some of their young players. Something that came out today that I noticed is a bit of... I wouldn't say it's controversy, but obviously the way that disciplinary action is done is ridiculous. You know, they get reduced time because they say they're sorry. And this is all disciplinary, you know, whether it's Pro 14, whether it's Premiership, whatever, you know, there's all different mitigating circumstances. You know, he said he's very remorseful for taking the lad's head off. So we decided to knock it down 3 weeks. But the controversy lies in when Liam Williams got his ban for his red card and obviously the little chat back to the referee, I think we're all in agreement. He probably got off with a little bit of a lenient ban. He got his ban for the red card. He probably should have got a little bit more formal than off because no one wants to see that in rugby. I'll remember that question for later. So he got three game ban. And John Klein's just had his disciplinary something for something he's done in the month of Leinster game. And he has got a 2-week ban. And in that time, he's only going to miss one game. It's ridiculous. I think we were discussing it just before we come on live. The way they do bans, it should be... Like, so in football, it's always games, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in rugby, a lot of the time, it's weeks. And I think... So I know Sinclair got game banned, didn't he, rather than a week ban, I think. One or the other. Yeah. I'm not asked which one it is, whether it's games or weeks. But You can't give one player a 3-game ban and then give someone a two-week ban.
I think, like, for me, I think it should just be games.
Yeah, it should just be games, shouldn't it? Yeah. Like, 'cause in week bans, so say if it was in weeks, you could have, you know, look at, you know, Joe Marler, and this is no wrongdoing, but he's banned with the thing with Alan Wynne-Jones. We won't talk about that. But once COVID hit, his ban just, that was it. It was a 5-week ban or something.
Yeah.
His 5 weeks were gone and he could play again straight away.
Yeah.
So you could either do weeks, like you say, I'm not bothered which one it is, just do both. I think it's really stupid that one gets 3 games and one gets two weeks. And I'd say the same if it was John Klein getting 3 games and Liam Williams getting 2 weeks. The whole thing is ridiculous. I find some of the disciplinary things are just, to be fair, a joke. And if you listen, if you've ever listened to players and they talk about them, they think the way they do it is stupid. You know, I was listening to one with Dylan Hartley on his podcast. It's actually quite funny, to be fair. He's like, they take you to a hotel at Heathrow and do this and do that. Like, I just think it's very confusing. What's to stop Liam Williams going, listen, why did I get 3 games and he got 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's a joke anyway. I mean, Owen Farrell got a reduced ban on him because he does charity work.
Charity work?
Yeah.
What's that got to do with him taking a young lad's head off in a game? Which was obviously a horrendous tackle. And them going, but he's a good guy and he did charity for the work for these people 6 months ago. Gives a shit, mate. Got nothing to do with the rugby. So yeah, that was something I read today. And to be honest, like you say, I completely agree. I think it was a Wales Online journalist who sort of tweeted about it, just saying it's ridiculous, and I completely agree with him. Other news that's come out today, obviously, we've pretty much confirmed that the South African teams we'll be joining the Pro 16 next season. Obviously, after we do the Rainbow Cup stuff, if that even happens. Something that's going to be affecting the Welsh regions, I'm pretty sure it'll probably affect the Scottish teams as well. It's been confirmed that the Welsh regions will have less players in their squads next season due to less fixtures and obviously financial constraints. Obviously, some of the players, there'll be players there that will be running the contracts down that, you know, teams probably won't be renewing. They're looking to have the fixtures, to have no fixtures during international windows, to try and boost the squad so more international players are playing for the teams. That's actually a good thing. Less games during the international fixtures. Hopefully, you might have a few more internationals playing during for the clubs, which I think we all want to see, especially when crowds come back. You know, I think it's good that they can get rest and stuff, but there's times where it's a look at Alan Wynne-Jones, Johnny Sexton. I know these players are getting on, but, like, you know, just thinking the amount of games. If you look at Brian, I think I brought up on the podcast, Brian O'Driscoll played something like 50 games in 7 seasons or something for Lent. It was something stupid.
Doing that, it means like less young players are going to get the opportunity to come through.
Well, I think youth teams will be used more because I'd imagine it's, you know, apparently it's 6 less people in the Scarlets team, 5 less in the Blues team. I think you're probably going to find actually more. They're not going to get rid of youngsters, the people who would be coming off contracts and stuff.
No, I meant more for when, like, if there's no games during the season.
Oh, sorry, yeah, okay, yeah.
International weeks, yeah. That's when you use your young lads and your fringe players to get game time, and that might not happen. Yeah,
apparently they're going to be setting up a proper A-League.
Okay, like, that'd be
pretty
good.
Yeah, so I've heard they're going to be setting up a proper A-League or sort of like under 23 league, actually make it competitive though, where youngsters are going to be able to play regularly, which I think that would be good coinciding with something like this.
Yeah.
I know another bit of news, obviously the Welsh regions of Welsh rugby, I think got a 70 million payout from the government to help with the sport. And obviously that will be split between the regions and everything, which is good, but obviously money's still scarce, really, isn't it? So I do think it's obviously a financial thing. And what they're saying is by having less, by reducing the squad sizes because there's less fixtures, hopefully the internationals will play more. Interesting to see where that goes. And obviously, I mean, losing six players. I mean, the Scarlets apparently have said they've had a bigger squad this season because of COVID and because of all the internationals being played. So they expect, obviously, say to lose six players, Blues to lose five. I'm not sure about the other regions. I'd imagine it's going to be the same for the Scottish teams, but I mean, they don't seem to have the largest squads in the world, do they, anyway? So that's something interesting in the future. Other bits of news sort of around the Lions. Apparently, all four captains kind of spoke to each other spoke to the Lions committee. And it seems to be what's come out of it is that whatever happens, they want the tour to be played this year, whether that's in South Africa in empty stadiums or it's here. Interesting. I think we spoke before we came on and we said, you know, I'd expect Alan Wynne-Jones to say, yeah, I want to play it this year, because he still has, you know, a chance of being part of the squad, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think if it's played next year, we're all under, you know, we all expect him to sort of retire after the Six Nations if it's next year, because I think it'd be just a year too much for him. So that's interesting. There's a lot of rumours about the Lions at the moment. Interesting that the players want it this year, though.
But they got so next year's like obviously their final summer tour before World Cup and things like that.
I would have expected. I don't know. I think I'd have expected players.
Sexton's not going to want to wait till next year either.
Of course, yeah. I'd expect him to play one of play it next year, obviously with crowds and stuff. I think I heard a rumour, it was on a South African thing, of it being played. I think I texted you, didn't I? The Lions tour being played next February, during the Six Nations time. The Six Nations being put back to the summer, which it won't happen. You know, when you think about it, most unions would have had their summer tour sorted out for next year.
Yeah.
Especially if we come up to a World Cup. So, I don't know. I mean, you hear a lot of people talking about it, saying it'd be disgraceful if it was over here. It's not the Lions tour. And I get this. I know we've said this. And I get, like, we're just fans. There's ex-rugby players, Willie John McBride, who's probably, you know, one of the most famous Lions, saying it'd be disgusting, it could kill the Lions. I massively disagree with that. We're not in normal. Nothing's normal at the moment. You could do a lot of good by even just having a Lions tour over here.
Yeah.
It will never happen again. It'd be a complete one-off. You know, we've said our feelings on this all the time, but, you know, sometimes I think some of the older players are like, it's got to be in South Africa because they want a two-week piss-up in South Africa, don't they, isn't it? Which is fine. But, yeah, I just think there's a lot more to come out of this, and I think there'll be more rumours than anything else before we hear some solid news from the Lions. So probably be talking about it every week until it actually happens in May, June.
Yeah.
Next bit of news is obviously, I think we all knew this was going to happen, but Wales players who play for English clubs having to return during the fallow weeks. I think Pivac was hoping he'd be able to keep hold of them. Listen, you know, I've read a lot and they're like, what do you expect? These clubs play the wage. If Wales want to pay them, pay the Premiership rugby, you know, they can have the players. I get all that. But like I've just said about the Lions tour, there's nothing normal about this year. And I think just for one season, you could say, listen, yeah, just for safety reasons, we don't want them swapping and changing. Just leave them in camp. You know, people turn around and go, we'll tell Wales to pay them this season. There's no money in rugby. Everybody's skint. I'd imagine Premiership Rugby would want an absolute shit ton of money. I mean, I suppose the way I'd do it is, listen, if they get injured during Wales training or Wales games, the rugby union would pay their wages while they're injured or something. I don't know. I think common sense. And I'm not just saying this because it's Wales. I think any other, you know, Scotland's the same. I know they haven't picked players because of this. I just think common sense. It's one tournament. I know they realise some of these teams are going to miss players. But, you know, this, I mean, they left. Scotland and Wales players went back to their clubs yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I know Redpath and Faletau are on the bench for Bath. I know Sheedy's on the bench for Bristol. Hogg's playing for Exeter, isn't he?
Not seen. No,
I would assume he hasn't played for ages, as he's been injured. Yeah. So I'd assume he's playing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. And I don't think Premiership Rugby would take the money off us, even if we offered. I remember George North had a clause in his contract that said if he signed for Northampton, he's still got to be allowed to go and play for Wales. And he got fined straight away. But it was in his contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it because, you know, Scotland have got 10 players in their squad, haven't they?
Suppose...
And they're not all gone back, have they?
No, they're not all gone back. But I suppose, yeah, I mean, I can understand if the club's point of view, that like they pay the wages and things like that, I suppose. So if the clubs were paying them, then fine. But at the same time, they've got games to go and win and they want their best players there. They've still got a league to compete in. So you can understand them wanting their best players. You know, clubs aren't bothered about the Six Nations. They just want their best players playing. So I suppose that's the argument against.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I can understand it. You know, I'm not someone who's going to really argue with it. I just think, I suppose I am arguing for it. I just think that, like, I just think, you know, common sense, it's a one-off. You know, well, you'd like to think it's a one-off. If I don't get to watch a game of rugby live next year, like, I will. So, yeah, I mean, I think we all guessed it was going to happen. You know, they're pretty much Premiership Rugby, you know, sort of quite stubborn like that. Fair enough, they run the league, don't they? They're the money men.
Yeah.
And then last bit of news from me, which is obviously Wales and Scotland. Wales and Scotland are going to be playing France away. The talk is at the moment that Wales and Scotland would have to isolate in Paris. We got a bit confused about it before, for 7 days before they play France. I just can't see that happening. Because I would assume that if they're coming over to isolate for 7 days, a bit like the tennis players in Australia, a bit like Fiji, they'll be stuck in a hotel. There's no way Wales and Scotland are going to agree to have a week's worth of preparation in a hotel. Unless there's provisions for them to actually get onto training pitches. But then you would almost say that's not isolating as well. So... it's a wait and see on that one. I said to you, say when we were discussing our notes before we came on live, you know, you'd assume that, you know, someone from France, as long as, you know, everyone's been isolated, everyone's been in their bubble, they've got all the tests, you know, I'd imagine Wales and Scotland would fly in their own planes or get on their own coach, arrive in France probably a day before the game.
Yeah.
And probably go into a hotel where no one else is. Train probably at the they usually train at the Stade de France. They'll have a run out of the Stade de France and then they'll play the game.
Yeah, I suppose that it's just how I mean they'll just I don't think it'll be as strict. I just think it'll have to be monitored and they'll come to an agreement, I'd expect.
Well, that's why I remember you said to me that's why Finn Russell's not going back to Racing because of the 7 day isolation, so they must be taking it serious.
Yeah.
So I mean like you say, you'd like to think, you know, overall they come to some agreement because, you know, I mean, you're going to play one of the best teams in the world and you're potentially not getting any training. I mean, there's talk of Wales playing. We're playing Italy. And then the weekend after we play France, they're literally playing Italy, flying to France and just isolate for the week. What sort of preparation? Listen, this will never happen. It's hypothetical, massively. Imagine that's a Grand Slam game for Wales and they're told you've got to isolate all week.
Yeah.
No preparation. Not going to happen, by the way. Not going to happen. I'm not saying that at all. You know. So, yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. But that's the news for me. It was quite lengthy, actually. Sorry. So, I have a little bit to discuss. I like to talk. I like the sound of my own voice.
You love the sound of your own voice.
Yeah. Sexy, mate, Steve.
So, what about you put me off now? Right. Sexy. Yeah. I won't go out far. Not with that Burko accent you got now, mate.
You love it, mate. You love it.
So just go through a bit of the club news first then. Bill Matter, he's extended his contract to Edinburgh. So that's really positive. I think he said before how well Edinburgh manages game time and things like that. I think it goes hand in hand the fact that Fiji don't actually play that many games as well, though. So, because he does play a lot of club games for Edinburgh, if I'm honest. But obviously, he's happy there and he says his family's settled and things like that. So, that's really good. Jamie Hodgson as well, the second row, he's re-signed at Edinburgh as well. I think it's a really good bit of business. He's started to really come into that second row, certainly been competitive in the second row now. I know Toulis and Gilchrist have had their injury problems, but Hodgson is he's genuine competition for him, and he's done well there. Jamie Batty, who's on loan from Edinburgh at Bath at the moment, he's re-signed for Glasgow. He was at Glasgow before he was at Edinburgh, and he's going back there at the start of the 21-22 season. There's a bit of competition in the front row. And then the bad news, Nakarara is heading to Ulster, which is like, he's only signed a year contract, but I don't mind players leaving when they're going for like a big payday or to a massive club and like leaving the Pro 14 and going, or Pro 12, Pro 16, whatever it's bloody called these days. But, you know, if they're going to like England for like big money and a top, and he's a class player, Nakarara, top team, or going back to France and earning big bucks and, you know, playing in the French league, I kind of understand it. But going to Ulster, Pro 14 team, it's just like a bit of a, just is what it is, I suppose. I don't know. I just
he's ambitious, see. Mate.
Say again?
He's ambitious.
Yeah. I think
Ulster are a good team, and basically I think I can assume he's probably going to get that Cotter's money.
Oh, he'll get a lot of money there, but I would have just I don't know. I don't like when they go from Pro 14 team to Pro 14 team. I'd rather go to like off to bigger and better things kind of thing. And I imagine he'll get a decent amount of money there, and he's probably got more chance of winning stuff with Ulster than he has with Glasgow, to be fair, at the moment. But yeah, it's just I don't know. I'd have thought he'd have gone to an English team or a French team, but obviously not.
I think he probably ruled out France because of his experiences at Racing 92. Everything that really finished too great there. I mean, I was looking at someone there, and someone made a point on their Twitter today. There's like a Glasgow Warriors account, and just said, you know, yeah, we can be upset that he's going. I think you're right. I think more people are upset that he's going to Ulster rather than sort of, you know, he's staying in the league. But, you know, he's hardly played. Apparently, he hasn't necessarily been the greatest in training or not turned up for training.
He's barely trained, hasn't he? He's been injured.
Yeah, he's 33. Or coming on to being 33. So, the only thing I will say is, I reckon Nakarawa was on a decent wedge at Glasgow, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine he signed for something. Glasgow need to reinvest that in something decent now.
Yeah.
You could probably get a couple of decent players. I'm not sure, obviously, but I reckon he was on a decent wedge. And I think they need to be, as hard as it is, it needs to be some exciting signings. You know, it was great as signing Jamie Batty and Duncan Weir and Ian Keatley. Glasgow fans need to have sort of, you know, I'm pretty sure Hugh Jones is going as well. I reckon he'd be on a decent enough wedge. You just want to, I think, Scottish fans, from what I read, they want to see reinvestment, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
They seem like these, you know, all the best players are going. Who were probably on, you know, the rumour was Hogg was on 300 grand at Glasgow when he left. That 300 grand doesn't necessarily look like it's been put back into the team, does it? Unless they've made some really bad decisions with people's wages. We don't know. We're not experts, are we? But, you know, reading, we've got quite a lot of Glasgow fans or Scottish fans on our Twitter, and, you know, a lot of complaints are is no one knows where the money's going. Yeah. There doesn't seem to be any sort of reinvestment.
Dodson, mate, he's lining his pockets.
Yeah, it seems that way. So, sorry, I jumped in there.
So the other bits of news then, I suppose that's it for news really, until I come on about the Six Nations, and I could segue into the the Edinburgh Zebra game now, if you want.
Yeah, go on. So yeah, go on.
I'll segue into it. So obviously, it was Edinburgh versus Zebra on the weekend. Edinburgh came out 26-10 winners. Like normally, like in previous year, last year or two since Cocker's been there, I'd have been like, oh, away win in Italy, no dramas. That'll be nice and simple. But the way this season's gone, I was a bit worried, and it was quite close at the start, and then George Taylor got sent off with 10 minutes to go, and I was like, fuck's sake. But to be fair, I thought Edinburgh played quite well and like toughed it out and were very resilient. I thought, like, I was really impressed with, and I have been for the last few weeks, and it seems to be since he's putting game after game together now. He's not having injuries, but Mark Bennett, I just think like his form in the last month or two has just like really, really improved. And I do think he'll probably, I mean, Scotland have got a lot of good centres now at the moment, so I do think he'll be on Gregor Townsend's radar, but he just seems to be getting back to the kind of form that he was in 2015 when he got like, is it breakout player of the year? He breakout youngster of the year back then. Obviously, he's had his injury problems and he has been like, you know, like he's had so many injuries, been unreal. But now he seems to be putting game after game together, not getting injuries and playing really well. I'll probably just jinx him now if we get injured next game. But, yeah, he's been good. And I thought Edinburgh were decent. I'd say they were, you know, you could say, I mean, they could have won the Glasgow-Edinburgh game with the last kick. Or not last kick, but that conversion obviously missed. But, you know, they are starting to pick up results now and the form is improving. I think the problem is for them, the Six Nations has probably come at the wrong time for them, because they seem to be getting a fairly settled team and starting to get results. And now, obviously, a lot of their players are getting taken away from them. But it was a good win. And they put themselves back in contention in that chasing pack, chasing like a top three finish, I suppose. Looking at like third and fourth, I suppose. But yeah, they were decent. It was a good away win, and saying they ground it out.
Yeah, so I mean, I haven't seen the game. I did see the intercept at the end. Well, that I read something like, oh, it was great reading play. I think anyone could have seen the pass that was thrown. It was so obvious, wasn't it? But yeah, listen, Edinburgh needed that, didn't they? I know they won the first sort of derby game and lost the last one, but they haven't really been fantastic.
They've struggled since the return back in the summer after coming back from COVID. Obviously, they came back and they had the game. I think they had the games at Glasgow, and then they went into like a couple of the were they in the quarterfinals of Europe and maybe the semis or the quarters of the league and that, and they lost both, and they've just not really recovered. Fair enough. I mean, it probably was a kick in the teeth, but hopefully now with a couple of wins that they've got over the last like month or so, you know, hopefully things are starting to turn.
Yeah. I mean, I look at, I mean, if you look at the two games at the weekend, they were quite contrasting. So you had Scarlets versus the Blues on, I think it was Friday night, wasn't it? Yeah, Friday. Not a great game, to be honest. I was hoping they'd taken a turn after the games previously. Obviously, this was a real organised game. But, I mean, in general, I mean, good win for the Blues. You know, that's two on the bounce against the Scarlets. Yeah. The Blues' defence, immense, to be fair. Really good. James Botham, after being dropped by Wales, let's say, got man of the match. It was unbelievable. I think it was 25 tackles, no misses.
20 great stats, mate.
Played really well. Jared Evans set up the try. It was a really nice little pass to what's his name? Morgan, the fullback. But I mean, overall, I mean, to be fair, great win for the Blues. Ray Lilo was class. Like you say, the defence was good. But there's something wrong at the Scarlets. There's something so inconsistent about them. I read some people talking that Glenn Delaney's trying to turn them into sort of more of a Premiership team. I can see that because Scarlets, you know, for a long time have been well known for their you know, running rugby, you know, good rugby. And they're trying to turn into a team of, you know, a big physical team that's going to go and outwork people, you know, dominate in the forwards. And it just, something's not right. I don't know if it's coaching. I'm not sure if it's the players. You know, the Scarlets had 12 internationals on the pitch on Friday night. And, you know, majority of them, like Jonathan Davis looked really bad, which is worrying. Players seem to be getting past him too easily. You know, I'm not sure. He hasn't really had a lot of rugby, has he? And he was out for a long time with a bad injury. Johnny Williams was all right. Halfpenny was terrible. There's something wrong with the Scarlets at the moment. The mad thing for the Scarlets is they are like, you know, I don't think you've seen it, but they go away to Bath and beat Bath, who are a very good team. And they play some great rugby. And then you watch them play, you know, Blues, who are probably not as good as Bath. I just not perform. I don't know. There's something wrong with the Scarlets. I'm not sure. They've had a big coaching overhaul and stuff. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. But, yeah, I mean, great win for the Blues. Like I say, to be fair, it was a poor game overall. I was listening to a podcast today and they said, oh, you know, I really enjoyed the game on Friday. I don't see that, like, to be fair. You know, a lot of other people have said that. Luckily enough, on Sunday, though, there was a very good game in Connacht. And we got both our predictions wrong. We picked the Scarlets to win, didn't we, on Friday? And we picked the Connacht to win on Sunday. But
yeah.
Ospreys coming out winners 26-20. Very good. Ospreys were really good. You know, couple of lapses, let Connacht in, and they went in half-time, like 17-6 down. But to be honest, the scoreline didn't do them justice. The Ospreys ripped them to shreds. Brock James is doing something really good with their attack at the moment. Toby Booth seems to be doing a really good job. Interesting that, you know, the two man of the matches this weekend were both them and Reece Webb. Both have been dropped and both have, you know, put their hands up and sort of said, you know, maybe you should have picked us. But there was a lot of players for the Ospreys. So the second half was so good. You know, like I said, Reece Webb got man of the match. He got two tries. Thought Kieran Williams, I think I put it on Twitter. Kieran Williams was very good at 12. You know, I see him as a future international. Owen Watkins at 13 was really good. I think Lydia, it's kind of making me eat my own words because I thought he was immense. I imagine he's going to start for Wales against Ireland. He's been fantastic. Tipperick was good. Like you say, the whole attack was really good. At times they ripped Connacht to shreds and just didn't seem to have that last pass. In the second half, it seemed to click. You had Prothero scoring. Like you say, Reece Webb got two. Interestingly enough, though, Rodri Jones gets picked by Wales because Toby Boone said he's been immense. His scrummage has been immense. And then on Sunday, he almost had a yellow card before half time because he got pinged, I think, three or four times on the bounce at the scrum.
Okay.
That doesn't look good for Wales. Yeah, so, I mean, in fairness, he came back on in the second half and his side of the scrum demolished the Connacht scrum. So you don't know whether it's referee's interpretation. But, I mean, the guy who replaced him, Gareth Thomas, he was name checked by Pivak. He was very good when he came on. So, yeah, quality. I think it's the first time a Welsh team's won out in Connacht in Ireland for a ridiculous time. Yeah, impressive, really impressive. It's good to see because the Ospreys have obviously been struggling. They've got new coaches in, and the coaches seem to have made a difference. Whereas Scarlets, they don't really seem to. So, yeah, good. Yeah, I was very happy on Sunday. It was a good game of rugby. Both, I mean, in fairness, Connacht played quite well. Both teams like to were throwing the ball around. The weather conditions were pretty decent, to be fair, which they're not always in Connacht. Yeah, it was interesting. It was good. All right, then. That's enough Pro 14. It's enough Pro 14. Let's get on to the big guns. So, myself and Mike, with the Six Nations start next week, we decided we'd sort of review this the tournament, and we'd both have a guess at what we think Pivac and Townsend are going to pick for the first games. Unfortunately, next week I think we'll have the Scotland team by the time we record, but the Wales team won't be out because they play on the Sunday. So I think we should start off with Scotland, because I think this is an interesting tournament for Scotland.
Yeah. So I suppose, I mean, yeah, I think it's a massive tournament for Scotland. I think, like, they're building something. They seem to find consistency. The forwards in particular have really come on leaps and bounds. And previously, our backs were like the main threat, and the forwards weren't competing. And now it seems they've gone the other way. Forwards competing, backs lost a bit of spark. Obviously, Finn Russell didn't play in the Six Nations last season, and obviously he didn't really play much in the Open Nationals because of he got injured. So he's back in the squad and to add a bit of stardust and hopefully get the backline functioning. I think if Scotland can get a balance of the forwards getting parity and or even bossing it up front, and then the backs being let loose to do what they can do, then I think it could be a very exciting tournament for Scotland. I personally think for Scotland, if they win their home games and are competitive within a score in their away games, then I think we'll probably be happy-ish with it. Obviously, you'd like to get an away win, but away games against England and France are obviously away wins. There are very difficult to come by, particularly with the way them two teams have been playing. I do think, like, England first game, you could catch them cold. You could certainly catch them cold, and especially with the players they've got missing. England have got Launchbury out, Marler out, Underhill, Makavanopoulos out. They've got people like Farrell and
Sinclair.
Pardon?
Sinclair's out,
yeah. But then they've got like likes of Farrell and Binny Vunipola that haven't played a game all season because there were Saracens, and obviously their season hasn't started. So I get they're not just sitting on the bums not training, but they won't have played a match. Well, obviously they've played behind closed games, I'm sure. But so it'll be interesting. There's an opportunity for Scotland to certainly catch England cold, providing Scotland come out in a fast start. But I don't think Scotland have won in England since 83 or 85 or something like that. So you know, it's a big ask for Scotland.
You've only won in England twice since the Second World War.
Yeah.
There's a stat I read this week.
Not ideal. And obviously Scotland, it's a monkey off the back Scotland don't want to get, not just beating England away, but getting these away victories that seem to hamper Scotland, certainly seem to have hampered Scotland for the last however long. And you know, if Scotland win, I don't know, their three home games and one of their away games, then they will have played well and they'll have put their hand up for things like line selection and things like that, which is obviously what a lot of them are going to want to do. And, you know, four wins in the Six Nations, if Scotland were able to do that, then that'd be the first time they've done that fucking God knows how long. Well, I don't think they've ever done it in the Six Nations, in fairness, four wins. So, so interesting news that's come from this week. It was on one of the Scottish Thistle podcasts I was listening to, and they seem to think that Alex Craig, who covers second row in six, he's got an injury. So he's been like with back at Gloucester getting looked at, and Nick Hayden's been coming in and doing some of the training sessions. So that's interesting. I hope Hayden will play, but you know, he's in doing the training sessions. And then one of the other things they mentioned that Harris and Redpath have been running shapes together at centre, which obviously everyone's quite excited about. Obviously, Cammy Redpath coming in, starting at 12 straight away. It's good that they've been obviously training together. And I think that's a nice balance having Redpath and Harris there. Harris for his defensive solidity, and obviously Redpath for his running game, good passer. And having him next to Finn Russell is quite exciting. But also, the reason they've been running together now is probably because they've both gone back to England to play for their clubs. And Duncan Taylor and Hugh Jones will be doing it all this week for the rest of the week. So it's not necessarily a complete giveaway that them two are starting, but it's a possible indicator. Do you want me to talk about who I think Townsend will pick now? Or are we waiting?
Yeah.
So I've kind of picked my team on, I think, what I think Townsend will pick. And a little bit because of the rumours I've heard and things like that. So I think a front row of, well, I think the props, Sutherland, Lucid, and Vegas at Tired, I think they pit themselves at the moment. And with McAnally and Fraser Brown both injured, George Turner picks himself as a hooker. A lot of pressure on George Turner to hit his jumpers. He's very, very good and loose, but he's got to be able to scrummage and hit his jumpers as well and get that part of his game correct. If he does, then he'll be a frightening prospect because he is so good in the loose. Second row, I think he'll go for tried and tested Johnny Gray and Scott Cummings. I think, like, for me, that's a no-brainer. And I think the back row of Richie and Watson, 6 and 7, is a no-brainer. Again, although Richie didn't play last week for Edinburgh, so I don't know if he's got an injury or what, but yeah, I think 6 and 7's them two are nailed on. And then 8, I'm like 50-50. I think he's going to go with Gary Graham because I think he's going to want that. Like, he's a decent ball carrier. He's going to... I think he's the kind of guy I think that'll thrive in it with the way he plays and that. Matt Faison is a good player, and he's played the last few. But I just think he's going to go with someone like Gary Graham. He's got a bit of bastard about him, which we say Jamie Ritchie's got. I think Gary Graham's definitely got that as well. And I think they'll need that going to Twickenham if they want to try and pick up a win. So that'd be my pack. And then in the backs, 9 and 10 is a no-brainer. That's Ali Price, Finn Russell. And then I've gone with the rumours, and plus because I want him to play as well. I've got Redpath at 12 and I've gone Harris at 13. I'd love Hugh Jones to have a go at 13 with Redpath, but I think it'll be Harris and Redpath. I just don't think Duncan Taylor would have played enough rugby for Townsend. And, you know, even in his last game when he played against Ealing Trailfinders, Trailblazers, whatever they're called, he came off with an injury there. He had a head injury assessment. So, you know, I don't know how fit he's going to be. On the wings, Duhan, Van der Merwe, no-brainer again. And I think Darcy Graham. I think Graham will get the nod over Maitland because, same with Maitland, he's not played any rugby. And Stuart Hogg at fullback. I've done my subs. I've just gone Cherry Dell and WP Nell for the front row. Richie Gray, Matt Fagerson, what's his name? Scott Steele, Duncan, and then I've got Duncan Taylor and Hugh Jones on the bench because them two cover between them so many positions. If anything happened to Finn Russell, I think Hogg will just go in at 10. And that's it. That's my team. I think I'll be there or thereabouts for that team personally. I think like a lot of the players, particularly in the pack, they've got to the stage now where they pick themselves. Richie, Watson, Cummins, Gray, Fagerson, Sutherland. You know, there's not many, you know, places up for grabs. Price, Russell, Chris Harris, you know, Townsend loves him. Hogg, Duhan, you know, you're not going to drop them. So, yeah, and I think it's an exciting team. You know, with Finn Russell back in there at 10, I think he can get, and with Cameron Redpath at 12, I think they can get the backs going. You know, it's an exciting back three of Duhan, Darcy Graham and Hogg. You know, there's certainly no reason why Scotland can't cause England's problems. They definitely can. But they've got to be on it from the first minute. You know, no giving England what did we give them, a 30-odd point head start last time when we played at Twickenham? Can't do that.
Again,
you know, that it was an unbelievable second half, but we can't give them that head start. You know, we've got to be on it from minute one.
They're like one of them games, aren't they?
Oh yeah, I mean it's unbelievable games. It was St. Paddy's weekend. We were at Liverpool.
Class, wasn't it?
Was crying at half time, but it was typical Scotland though. We got back in the front into the lead and then gave it away at the end. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite excited for the Six Nations, as I always am with Scotland, because I jump on the bandwagon and get excited. But, you know, when I look at the team, I do think, you know, if, like, people that need to step, like, so George Turner, he needs to step up. He needs to, you know, make that number two shirt his own now. You know, he's got to stay fit for a start for the whole Six Nations. You know, he is, you know, after him, there is a big drop off in standards. You know, but this is an opportunity for him to kind of say to McAnally and Brown, look, I'm going to take this shirt from you. Same with Gary Graham at 8, you know, if he, or even Matt Fagerson, if he gets the nod, you know, it's up to one of them to say, you know, number 8 shirt's mine, you know, and really put a claim in for it. So providing that players that are that come into team step up, you know, I think Scotland can be really competitive with England and hopefully spring a shock.
Yeah, so, I mean, I see Scotland as a team on the up. I don't think you've had a squad as strong as you have at the moment. I can't remember a Scotland team this good. I think Scotland have always had good players, but good players in certain positions, and then weak, a lot weaker. I mean, for years when they had, you know, I remember Hogg coming into the team, and Hogg was literally the best thing that you had. Then Russell came in, and then it slowly built from there. For me, expectations got to be high for Scotland this tournament. I think it's a team you've got, you know, you've got one of the best fly-offs in the world. You've got one of the best fullbacks in the world. I don't think you should be captain. They were never going to change that, obviously. I've said this, and this is not because I try and put pressure on Scotland. You know, I think this is the best opportunity to beat England they'll have at Twickenham in a long time. Like you say, that game 2 years ago was immense. You know, it was such a good game, especially at half time. Sat there, wow, this is shit. Let's just get pissed. Let's just get pissed. And then second half, still getting pissed, but loving it. Yeah, no better time. You've already said, you know, no Mako, no Marler, no Sinclair, no Launchbury, no Underhill. You've got a spine of a team there. I mean, a lot of the England players haven't played recently because the games got cancelled in Europe and they didn't reschedule. But you've got, you know, you've got Farrell, Jamie George, Itoje, haven't played since playing for England against France. Bruno Pola had only had one game. And, you know, apparently he likes to have, you know, when he leads up to an international, he likes to play a lot of games. He's got to get a head of steam of him. Listen, don't get me wrong. The players I've set out, they've got very good replacements. You know, England's strength and depth is, it was unbelievable, to be fair. But I just think Scotland at the moment, you know, touch wood, they've got a fully fit team.
As I say, we've not, other than McAnally and Brown, we haven't really got
But in general, yeah, you know, everything else is first choice, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And a first choice and a lot of options. So I just think, you know, I've wrote down here should be targeting to either win the competition, this is how I rate you, or, you know, at least a second place finish, which is what you said. I think if you win four games, I'd be shocked if you weren't second, if not winning the tournament. I'm not sure there'll be a Grand Slam this year. You don't know. I do think it might be a bit of a strange tournament. The other thing is playing England at home at Twickenham first up is no crowd. You know, it might as well just be any other stadium. But yeah, you know, Scotland are on the up. You know, I know we play. We've got you at Murrayfield. Tough game. Yeah, I mean, what's the order of your fixes? You've obviously got England and Wales, haven't you?
Ooh, yeah. Then, I'm not sure. We got... I'm not 100% sure. I haven't got more on here.
Sorry, I put you on the spot here, haven't I?
Yeah, not sure the order. I'll have to check. I've not written them down.
Right, okay. Oh, yeah, all right, Sam. Yeah,
no,
listen, I think Scotland have got a great opportunity. My only worry for Scotland is as good as your squad is in certain areas. Yeah, if George Turner got injured, you're scraping the barrel a bit, I'd say. Yeah. If Finn got injured,
yeah, it's a massive
you've got
drop-off.
Jacko, yeah. And this is all hypothetical, obviously, you know.
Although they did say Adam Hastings might be fit by the end of the tournament.
By the end of the tournament. But he wouldn't have played a lot, would he?
No.
Hopefully get a game in for Glasgow, and obviously we'll talk about that and about the Wales team. So, that's the only thing for me. But I think Scotland have got a great chance. You've got, like you say, you've got three home games. Your two away games are tough.
So we've got England first, obviously at Twickenham, then Wales at Murrayfield, then France in France, and then we've got Ireland at Scotland, obviously at Murrayfield, and then last game against Italy in Murrayfield.
Normally, Italy for a Grand Slam.
Normally for a wooden spoon, but hopefully for a Grand Slam, yeah.
Italy for a Grand Slam. Be nice. Nice home game to finish against Italy, going for a Grand Slam.
We're the kind of team that would win our first four games and then lose to Italy last game.
I think that's the best case scenario, isn't it? But I think when people go for Grand Slams, it never seems to be that way. No one ever seems to play Italy in the last game when they've got a Grand Slam. I know, like, Wales in recent times, I think they've had France twice, Ireland. Tough. I think we've had the four Grand Slams we won in the Six Nations, Ireland twice and France twice in the last games. Luckily, all of them have been at home.
Tough
one. So, yeah, mate, listen, I'm all positive for Scotland. I'd like to have a mare in the second game, obviously. That's personal preference, but yeah, I mean, if we can swiftly move on to Wales, I think it's different. And to be honest, it's a big turnaround from what we usually like before a Six Nations, aren't we? Scotland and Wales have switched positions. I think if you look at, we spoke about the squad last week, and obviously I've had a bit more time to think about it, and obviously read other people's opinions about it, which, you know, I think sometimes it's good to have a look at someone else's opinion, not necessarily change your own, but if you have a look at someone else's opinions, if you look at the squad that Pivac's picked, with bringing players like Lydiot back in, you know, bringing Navidis and Owens, Navidi and Owens in, Alan Wynne-Jones, who obviously hasn't played a lot of rugby, you know, Jonathan Davis, basically, he said he picked the team on form, and then in a lot of instances, he hasn't. I'm not saying it's desperation, but he's picked a team there. He's tried to bring experienced players in because I think he needs to win now, doesn't he? You know, he's done. You know, I've always said, and same as you, he needs, you know, 12 months. He needs another Six Nations, and this Six Nations is there. So I think he's picked his squad because he needs to win games, and that's why he's brought experience in. Although Lydiot is playing very well. You know, for Wales, our fixtures, we've got Ireland at home first up, Scotland away, like you, England at home, Italy away, then France away. I mean, although we've got two home games in the first three fixtures, all three of them games are hard games. But I've wrote down here, obviously target the Italy game. I've wrote down target the Ireland, and I've said target the Scotland game, which obviously is a contradiction because I've just said I think you should be right up there. Listen, I've spoke about on the pod before, I think we could have a couple of lean years. I do think there's a sort of a transition at the Wales team at the moment. Like you say, you know, we are a team that's picking players who haven't played a lot of rugby, who've been injured out for a while. We're picking, you know, a back rower who's 32, 33. He's not picked his Six Nations on the World Cup. He's picked on it looking to win this Six Nations. But I think it's going to be a struggle. For me, I'd like to see, obviously, improvements. I think in that Italy game, albeit it was Italy, you could see improvements. You could see where Wales were going. I hope he keeps Tipperick and Faletau playing and where they were playing in the Italy game, because I think they are two of our better players, and I think they can cause damage. Faletau seemed to have found some really good form by the end of the Autumn Nations. You know, obviously, Pivac came out this week and he said, I think I sent it to you, I think it's time to sort out the set piece in this tournament. No shit. You know, I'm not being funny. He doesn't seem that good with the media. I had a go at him for what he said about Webb, what he said about North. You know, I think it's time to sort out the set piece. Like, no fucking shit, mate. You know what I mean? Like, don't put it out like that. You know, you could say, listen, we want to make improvements on our set piece. Easy, done, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about time. That sounds like, you know, listen, we didn't work on that. We just worked on... I mean, he did say something like, you know, our defence was poor, so we worked on that and that got better. But we didn't really work on the four. Like, why not? Do you know what I mean? There was things that happened during the Autumn Nations in the England game that was just poor refereeing, in my opinion. That's not just mine. There's a lot of professionals and ex-players who agree with me on that. But in general, the Welsh scrum has been poor for a while. I think it'd be better with Thomas Francis back in, fit. But yeah, listen, low expectations for the tournament. I do think we could cause a shock at home to Ireland on the first game. I don't necessarily think they've been in, although their teams have been in great form, I don't think they're in great form. I don't think they pick on form. I think if Sexton and Murray start, you know exactly what you're going to get from them. Still a tough game. Listen, they're still a very good team. And
he was decent on the weekend, Conor Murray.
We still got, you know, they mulled us in November. So, you know, we're at home. Not that it means much. We will be back at the Millennium Stadium. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Did you see Conor Murray on the weekend?
No.
He was very good. Looked back to his best, in fairness. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. He's found some form.
The Sexton went off injured, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a pricker. So.
Yeah. Like, listen, if you're not picking John Cooney, and they don't pick Ulster players who've only lost one game this year, you know. Yeah.
Well, Dan, I mean, I like that one of the things, like that Danny Kerr, he doesn't pull any punches when it comes to Andy Farrell, considering he's obviously mate to Rowan Farrell. And he said, like, he won't pick Cooney. He's like, it's the same reason he wouldn't pick me. You know, we're not the type of player he likes. Yeah. I like it when he comes on. I like it when he comes on and is honest like that. He doesn't always do it like, obviously, I get there's some things he can and can't say. Like, same with Chris Ashton. He's quite good in the pod because he's pretty honest. And obviously, it sounds like that's what Harlequin's got a bit pissed off with him for being a bit too honest. But
seems like a bit douche.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't dispute he's a bit of a douchebag and that. But when they are opening up a little bit, it's quite, you know, it's quite good to listen to him and to hear what they say, you know. Chris Ashton, like they said to him, you're probably not going to play. So I was like, all right, I'll move to a different club then. Happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like, I mean, I was listening to a rugby pod today, and obviously, I mean, they like John Cooney, don't they? You know, it's obvious on the pod. But I was saying, you know, they said it perfectly. And I suppose you could tell this about the Wales team, is you're picking Conor Murray, fair enough, you're picking Gibson Park, and then you're picking Craig Casey, and he's a young lad, but this is the guy who's the second choice at Munster. Over a guy who's playing for Ulster, who have lost one game all season,
yeah.
Who had a bit of a bad run at the latter end of the season that they played later on, but there was a lot of players like that. It was awful rugby to start off with, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know he got subbed at half time against Edinburgh. Listen, you can say the same for Wales. If you look at it, you've got Gareth Davis and Thomas Williams. And then you've got Kieran Hardy. He sees something in Hardy, but at the same time, Kieran Hardy is second choice at Scarlets. I mean, he didn't do himself justice at the weekend because I think he came on with 15 minutes to go and got yellow carded pretty much straight away. It's not ideal. So, listen, my expectations are low for Wales this year. I do think you're going to have, I do believe you're going to have a couple of seasons where we might have to take a little bit of a few beatings. I do believe there's a lot of talent in Wales. I do believe there's a lot of players coming through, whether that's with PVAC, we'll wait and see. Like I say, you know, listen, if we can win the first game at Ireland, as hard as it would be, you know, I think we could go up to Scotland with confidence. And bearing in mind, listen, you know, if you were to beat England that game, you'd be right up free against us, wouldn't you, up there? So, you know, tough three games to start off with, Ireland, Scotland, England. I mean, you know, this is no disrespect, but, you know, gone are the days where, you know, you target Scotland and Italy as wins. And then, you know, France, apart from the last couple of seasons, have been poor, haven't they?
Yeah.
Now you've got France who are unbelievable. You've got England who are really, you know, unbelievable, I suppose, the strength and depth. You've got Ireland who are still a good team. You've got Scotland who are, you know, what we've discussed, have probably got the best team they've had for God knows how long, probably since they won that the Grand Slam way back when. So it's a tough tournament now, you know, real tough tournament. So, I mean, I've wrote down what I think. I'm different to you. I always pick what I would, but I've decided I'm going to pick what I believe Pivac will, and then I'll sort of have a say about who I think should be in. So I think he'll go Wyn Jones, Ken Owens and Francis in the front row. I think he wants and needs Ken Owens' experience, and obviously he's a very good player. I know he hasn't played a lot, which will go against him, but I think if you can get 50 minutes out of him, it'll be decent. I think he'll go Alan Wyn Jones and Jake Ball in the second row. He likes Jake Ball, and obviously, you know, Alan Wyn Jones is the captain. I don't necessarily agree he should be playing. Yeah, that's who I think will go in the second row. And back row, I think the two, a bit like Richie and Watson, Tipperick and Faletau play, don't they? I don't think there's any argument there. Two world-class players. I think he's going to go Lydia at six. I think he's picked him to play. And I think that could be a good addition against Ireland, the way that they like to play, very forward orientated around the ruck and stuff. I think he could be, you know, destructive. In the backs, I think he'll go Thomas Williams. I hope he goes Thomas Williams, and I hope that he gives him a run for at least three games in the tournament. I think he'll go Thomas Williams, are bigger at half backs. Although Bigger hasn't played a lot of rugby recently, I think centres will go Johnny Williams and Jonathan Davis. Wings, Adams and North. North has been playing very well. He played really well against Connacht again. And he'll go Halfpenny at fullback. So, you know, I think most people could have picked that quite easily. I would make changes. I mean, the guy is playing for his job, obviously. So, you know, he's not going to... he's not going to be as maybe try things like he did in the Autumn Nations. Fair enough. He's playing for his he's basically coaching for his job at the moment, isn't he? So I would have preferred Sam Parry. He played well for the Ospreys. He's not even in the squad, but I would have started with Sam Parry. And the second row, I would have gone, and this is controversial, but I would have gone Adam Beard and Will Rowland to the second row. I think Ireland, you need some big lumps in there. I think Adam Beard's playing well, and I think Rowland's been playing well for Wasps. Hasn't necessarily shown up on the international level, but then he's been in and out of the team. I'd have put Sheedy at 10, and I don't know who you would pick at fullback instead of Halfpenny. Maybe Hallam Amos, I don't know, but I just think we need to change our game up from fullback. People are saying Halfpenny's in the form of his life. But Halfpenny's doing what he does. Kicks his goals. I've said it on here. You know, people might not. He is probably the best defensive fullback in the world. But in this day and age, back in the day, that might have been brilliant. I think in this day and age, your fullback's probably one of your most important attacking players. But I think he'll go on the bench. Reece Carey, Ryan Elias. He should know. He was horrendous for the Scarlets. Leon Brown, Corey Hill, Wainwright, Gareth Davis, Sheedy and Louis Rees-Sammet. So yeah, that's what I think for Wales. I sound a bit downbeat about them, but I think that's to be expected. I do think we're going to have a few lean years. Hopefully, let's pull off some shocks. Wins against Ireland and England at home would be nice, but with no crowds. You know, Wales do feed off their crowd a lot. You know, it's been said at the Millennium Stadium, Principality, whatever it's fucking called. It's got, you know, one or if not the best atmosphere in the world. So, yeah, tough one this year, I think, for Wales. I'll have to be drinking quite a lot during the tournament.
So I think, do you not think Navidi will start?
I think Navidi, oh shit, Navidi will be on the bench instead of Wainwright, sorry. No, I don't think he will.
I think he'll start Navidi.
See, I would think so because he was so desperate to get him to play. I think the thing with Navidi, it would be a lot like the Saracens lot because his injuries were concussion. So I still think he's been allowed to do a lot of fitness He just hasn't been able to do the contact work, which obviously is huge. Don't get me wrong. I know he loves Navidi. And listen, I think, you know, a lot of people's opinions that Navidi is our best all-round back rower. But I think he's picked Lydiate to start. And I think he'll get Navidi on the bench and see how it goes from there. He could start Navidi. He could start Navidi, but I think he'll go with Lydiate against Ireland.
Yeah, I think like when you go through the Wales squad, like the players, I think they've got like they've got some really really talented players, and I think the issue is going to be for Wales at the moment. And I think this is Pivac's biggest job is just finding the right 15 or the right 23, and I think he's still not sure how well to mix the youth with experience. And I think he's just not sure what to do yet. And I think he doesn't want to just like chin off the experienced guys to give the youth a chance, because he does need a couple of them, but I think he just needs to get a blend right. I think once he gets that blend right of the youth and experience, then I think he'll Wales will do well. Like you said, they might have a year, like this Six Nations might be not a write off, but you know, they might struggle. But then once you get like the Lions and out the way, and obviously I imagine if Lions happens, Wales will do a summer tour, you know, with different players and things like that in there, and then come the autumn internationals, you know, I think Wales will probably be in a good place, because these young players that are coming through will have had a summer tour away and things like that. Pivac will know his players better and things like that. So I do agree. I think Wales has still got the ability to do well in the Six Nations. But whether it all comes together for him in the Six Nations, yeah, I think remains to be seen. And I think that's the bit that Pivac's going to find hard, just getting that blend right and getting them to play the way he wants them to play, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's talent in the squad. You know, they're talking, you know, you're talking about, you know, Jonathan Davis. A lot of people would pick him in the Lions team now, wouldn't they? At the moment, he doesn't look at it, but I wouldn't expect him to. He's hardly played any rugby. He's had a lot of time off. But, you know, Wales are probably going to pick him at 13, you know. I mean, Eddie Jones said it, didn't he? You know, there's a lot of players who are sort of coming at the twilight of their careers. There's a lot of players who've had injury layoffs. There's players who aren't really in form, although he's picking on form. Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, listen, do Wales have the players to win games? Yes, they do. You know, Alan Wynne-Jones might not be good enough to start for the Lions, but he's still one hell of a second row. Yeah. Jonathan David, Ken Owens. You know, Ken, this time off might have done Ken Owens some good, you know. I mean, you're right, trying to mix the youth and sort of more experienced players. You know, he hasn't got really a ton with the way they play. You know, if we'd won a few more games last year in the Six Nations and obviously in the autumn, you know, he might have mixed up a bit more. You know, but do we have the ability? You know, listen, we played reasonably well against England at Parker Scarlett's. We had a nightmare against Ireland. The Scotland game, we didn't deserve to win that. The conditions weren't really good in that game, were they, for great rugby. We played well against Italy, although we let them back into the game at a point. So, yeah, listen, you know, I agree with what you're saying. You know, there's still a lot of good players. You know, Navidi's really good. I think the thing that Navidi will do, he'll add a lot of balance. We missed him at the breakdowns. He clears out. He attacks the breakdowns as well. So, listen, interesting. You know, if we lose our first couple of games, you know, I'd be more than happy for him to have a crack, you know. I mean, harsh on Louis Rees-Savick, I thought he played well, but I do think George North's playing well. And I think Josh Adams has had a bit of poor form, but I think we all know he's a top-class player.
You said he's in poor form. He didn't get much ball, did he? You know.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, when we played Italy, you know, our best two attacking players were Tipperick and Faletau. I think that's the way that Wales want to play. That's where the Scarlets played. They had their forwards sort of creating as well. You know, as long as we see improvements, you know, obviously we don't want to see players run the ball from everywhere because it's impossible, but want to see a little bit more back play. Be interesting. I mean, he might even pull out a shock of playing Sheedy against Ireland, which I'd like to see. You know, you're only going to find out whether he's good enough if he's going to get some consistent game time. You can always bring Dan Bigger on, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Big game to start off with at home. But if we can do some decent against Ireland, like even if we're in the game against Ireland, after what they did to us in the autumn, you know, you've seen what England done to him as well. You know, if you can compete up front with Ireland, you can do pretty well against them. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what they pick on Friday, and that'll depend how much I drink before the game kicks off. Yeah, good. So, I mean, obviously, if you're looking at the rest of the Six Nations teams, we've spoken about Ireland a bit, we've spoken about England a bit. France have lost Wakatawa and Intermac, looks like, for the whole tournament. Wakatawa's huge, but they've got a lot of good players, haven't they? You know, you look at France now, a hell of a lot of good players.
They've got
a
thingy either, have they? Intermac.
Yes, I said Intermac, didn't I?
Oh,
Intermac and Wakatawa, yeah. Wakatawa's the huge one, isn't he? He's so big for him and everything they do. A lot of their play revolves around him. I still fancy them, to be fair. I know they've got to go to Twickenham. But if you look how they played at Twickenham last year, you know, there's no crowd. You'd fancy them. They've got Scotland and Wales at home. You'd probably fancy them to win both games there. Although Scotland, France would be interesting. The only thing for Scotland is they've got Finn back, which is huge. But I suppose if you looked at that last game they played against Ireland, for 30 minutes they were bang on in the game, weren't they? And obviously the yellow card changed it all. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting. Looking forward to it. I know it's no crowd. I know it's different. But I always love the Six Nations. Doesn't matter what it is. So, yeah, looking forward to the games next week. Right. Fab. Let us know what you think. If you agree with us, if you do disagree with us. Maybe try and see, get some people to pick their teams and send them to us.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Who is that? I want to see who you pick, not what Pivac pick. You know, see if we got some crazy selections like mine with Adam Bean and Will Rowlands in the second row. I'm sure people won't agree with that, but I think you've got to go with some size there, and I think they're playing well. So,
see how many the Scotland fans pick Cameron Redpath at 12 and Hugh Jones at 13.
Oh, I think that'd be brilliant. I just think with Finn...
That's like rugby porn, isn't it?
I just think with Finn as well, and I think with how good England are, just the creativity. I think England would be shocked by it. And, you know, listen, remember the last time they played them sort of players together? It was that game at Murrayfield where Finn was throwing out all the passes and Hugh Jones was...
Pete Hall played 12, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, so I did it.
The thing is, England are probably going to play Farrell 12 and Slade 13. So Harrison Redpath don't have to worry about two big ball carrying centres that are rapid. You know, Farrell and Slade, they're not rapid. Do you know what I mean? Farrell certainly isn't. You know, Slade's he's probably got a bit of pace, but they're not huge big guys that are just going to run over them or do them for pace. You know, Harris and Redpath are probably quicker than Slade and Farrell. And Harris is probably a bigger bloke than all three of them.
Slade is like, he's one of them players who doesn't look fast, but like glides.
Like, a bit like Henson.
Henson, yeah, that's a good chance.
Glides.
What's his name? Jim Hamilton was saying he thinks Duncan Taylor will play. So I know you rate him a lot. I think he's a good player, but I don't see what other people see. I mean, Jim Hamilton, Jim Hamilton said he was one of the best on form, and if he's fit, he's one of the best 12s in the world.
Eddie Jones wanted him to play for England. He just didn't know he was Scottish. He didn't know, like, he was like, well, he can play, he's English, isn't he? But he could play for Scotland, and he didn't realise that he was English, and he was surprised. He was like, why have we let this player go? But, I mean, if Duncan Taylor had been playing 3 or 4 games on the run and he was fit, then I would probably say I think Taylor would start at 12 and Cameron Radcliffe would be on the bench. But he's got no game time other than like 35 minutes against a championship team. So I wouldn't pick him. And I think, you know, unless he goes unbelievably well in training, I don't think Townsend can justify picking him personally. I mean, I watched Duncan Taylor play against Australia when we beat them out in Australia a few years back now. I think it was like one of Townsend's first tours, I think. And he was unbelievable, mate. He was just like so good. Like, just like looked like an absolute world beater. But he just, you know, unfortunately, he's been like bereft by injury and things like that. And he's probably not had the career that his ability deserves. And unfortunately, that's just the way sometimes.
But that's probably why I don't see him like the rest of them, because you don't see him enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've probably seen him more than you've seen him. So my opinion's a bit different as well.
Of course.
And unfortunately, it is what it is. That's rugby, and that's the way of the world. You know, some people are more susceptible to injuries than others, and he seems to have had that. But, you know, he's still a good player. You know, and I'm sure if he's fit and firing, and then he can still do a job for the team. But as I said last week, if he did play, I don't see him being able to play a full Six Nations, like five, you know, tough international matches, you know, week on week. Yes. You know, it's going to be really hard. Would be really hard for him. You know,
So good. So obviously next week will be sort of. We'll review probably, we've reviewed these games quite a lot, but I think we'll review the Scotland-England game more because the teams will be out. Obviously, there is, I think, Scarlets play Leinster this weekend. So we'll talk about that. And then, obviously, we had friend of the show, Ginger Bry. We asked him for any ideas. He gave us one, didn't he? He said, how about talking about picking some legends and obviously... put our thoughts about why the legends and what we thought about them. So I think we'll do that next week.
Mike Wag. I heard seen your comment saying there wouldn't be any Scottish legends.
Fully. I thought it was quite a good balance, to be fair. Like, I would. But I mean, to be fair, I'll tell you now, I'm going to be talking about Gavin Henson because we had a little bit of banter about him in the comments. Goodness. So, I'm sure. I mean,
I wrote Brendan Laney.
You go, the Chainsaw? Ledge. He is a legend, mate. You've got to be a legend with a nickname like Chainsaw, haven't you? we'll do that next week as well. I think we were discussing during the week, myself and Mike, we're going to set up a Six Nations Fantasy League. I think we'll put the details.
No, match
factor,
isn't it?
Yeah, we'll do match factor. Do you not want to do the Fantasy League as well?
Do that as well, mate. Yeah, happy with that, yeah.
We'll do a Fantasy League, Six Nations one. We'll put all the links and stuff up on our social medias. We'll definitely do Match Pint. It's not up on the app, though. You see, I couldn't find it on the app.
No,
so
I
maybe
couldn't find it, but Andy Goode put on it, is that he had done it. So,
right, yeah. Okay. Oh, well,
I couldn't find I'll get
in touch with Match Pint on Twitter. They're quite good back and forth, to be fair. They do a bit of good banter. So, so we'll be doing a Match Pint again. It was very good last time. Mike was dross, weren't you, mate, to be fair?
Yeah. Won by an Irishman as well.
Won by an Irishman. He's got a nice cup in his house there as a trophy. We'll think of another prize. It might not be a cup this time. We might do something different. We'll set them up. And if you keep an eye on our socials, you'll be able to find the details for them. Fantasy League, I'm pretty shite at the football one, so I can imagine he'll be shite at this one as well.
I've hit some form on my football one, mate.
I'm just terrible, mate, if I'm honest. Terrible. If you keep an eye on our socials. So you've got Twitter, which is at DT Rugby Pod, and you got Facebook and Instagram, which is Dragon Thistle Rugby. I mean, that's about it for me, mate.
Yeah, same, mate, same.
Winding. Right, thank you very much for listening. Thank you everyone who has listened so far. And we'll see you next week, ready for the Six Nations.
Take care.
All right, in a bit.